This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In a second-floor storage room in Boston's Museum of Fine Arts sits the top half of an 1,800-year-old statue called the Weary Heracles. It was likely discovered in Turkey in 1980. The MFA acquired it in 1982.
It's just one statue in a museum full of artistic masterpieces. But in Antalya, Turkey, the statue is a very big deal. There in the small coastal city is where you can find Weary Heracles' bottom half.
After the statue arrived in the U.S. some three decades ago, it became a symbol of all the artwork stolen from Turkey, for the Turks, that is. But now, after years of back and forth between the MFA and Turkish officials, Heracles will soon be on his way home.
Jeff Edwards wrote about the statue's odyssey in yesterday's Boston Globe. And Jeff, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us something about this statue and why it's so special.
Well, what's special about this statue in many ways is that it's not actually artistically all that special. It's a marble copy of a more famous statue done by a real masterful sculptor. But what we're looking at here is a statue that's a symbol of something much greater, which is this long history of American museums and collectors purchasing works that were either stolen with their knowledge or stolen or looted without their knowledge. But, you know, building these great American collections that we're so familiar with at the Met, at the Getty, at the MFA, but without the same concern for where it came from.
Well, let's talk about that, a little bit about where it came from, where it was discovered, and how it found its way to Boston. What do we know about that?
Well, nobody has actually seen the top half in the ground being excavated, but it's very much likely that it was excavated around 1980. That's when the bottom half was found in eight pieces in this city called Purge, which is about 10 miles away from Antalya in Turkey. What's interesting about it is that the bottom half of the statue emerges from this excavation, and a year later, by coincidence, the top half suddenly shows up in this collection in New York City, owned by Leon Levy and Shelby White, these, you know, very active collectors of antiquities. And their story is what they were told by the dealer, the German dealer who sold it to them, which is, hey, this is at my mother's house, and before that, she bought it from a dealer in Germany. That's the entire history that the museum, you know, knew about when it was accepting this piece in 1982.
So what led it to do an investigation to figure out that, in fact, it was half of a statue that exists in Turkey? How do we get to that point?
In 1990, Connoisseur magazine, which I'm sure you read every week.
Absolutely. I do. In fact, I've got my copy somewhere.
Yeah. Right. Connoisseur magazine wrote about finding the bottom half in Turkey, seeing it on display, and said, hey, look, the top half of this this piece, which happened to be in an exhibition at the Met, the MFA had loaned it to the Met. They said, hey, these two belong together. The MFA at the time said, no. I mean, they had this legendary curator, Cornelius Vermeule, and he said, no, there's like 150 copies of this thing. The top half and the bottom half, they just don't fit. 2 years later, he agreed to have that tested out. They made plaster casts of the bottom and the top half, and they had them put together at the MFA, and they fit perfectly.
So, Jeff, there's this former curator at the MFA, Cornelius Vermeule. How does he play into this whole story?
Well, he's really the link from the old way of doing things to the way things are done now. When he was collecting, I mean, it's not really a fault of his, but these curators were larger-than-life figures who were just cavorting around the globe, meeting with big dealers and collectors and getting what you could any way you could. I tried to speak with him several times. He passed away in 2008, and he was a fascinating figure. I mean, I called his house. He lived in Cambridge, and I would get an answer. Sounded like an old woman. Hello? Yes, he's not here now. He's actually in Ireland. He's with a woman, and he's very hard to reach. And after he passed away, I spoke to his daughter, and she actually told me that he was there the whole time, that he liked to impersonate other people, and that's how he avoided interviews.
Fascinating. So how did the MFA respond, faced with this evidence that they couldn't deny that this was, in fact, the top half of Weary Heracles?
Well, the argument then shifted, and I say the argument by the MFA as to why they should keep the peace. And what it shifted to was the idea of, you know, laws were put in place at certain times and guidelines were put in place at certain times about what you could and couldn't acquire and how that process worked. Well, the MFA in the 90s said, look, we have no way of knowing that it came out in the modern era. And as long as we don't know that, there are no restrictions on these pieces. I mean, there are very specific laws, you know, hey, in 1983, this was passed. In 1906, this was passed. Basically, what the MFA was saying, this was excavated before those laws were in place.
So it seems like the museum received this statue without knowing a whole lot about its origin, as you suggest. How common was that?
Very common. I mean, there was this whole idea in the olden days, as I'll call them, of, you know, you go, you get. Whatever you can find, grab it, ask questions later, and do the best you can. But unless you have concrete evidence that something was stolen from a site, don't worry about it. I'm really oversimplifying, but that's, you'd be amazed at how many pieces that are thousands of years old only have, you know, it says, oh, first found in 1968 in Switzerland. You know, that's when it first surfaces. That's changed dramatically. But in those days, you know, let's not highlight the MFA as the, you know, greatest violator. I mean, it was happening at the Met. It was happening at the Getty. It was happening at museums all over the country.
Yeah, and all over the world. I mean, I'm thinking, for example, the Elgin Marbles, for example, right? And in Great Britain, I mean, this has been a thorn of contention between the Greeks and the Brits for years and years. I mean, for decades. So, as we mentioned, the top half of this statue is on its way home. What happened?
Basically, over the last few years, the MFA and a lot of museums have changed the way that they do their research and their practices. And they've given back pieces of work, whether it's pieces that they've determined were stolen by the Nazis or cases in Italy where they determined that the pieces were taken, you know, illegally out of the country. They've done the research, they've held the negotiations, and then they've sent these things back. Heracles, they were working on it behind the scenes. I just happened to do research on it and really press them on it. And they were honest and said, look, we realize now that this belongs together with the other piece and it belongs in Turkey.
You write in your piece that in agreeing to the return, the MFA is making a rare about-face, acknowledging what archaeologists and other critics have long argued. The museum should never have allowed the top half of the statue to enter the collection. So with that in mind, are we really seeing an about-face, and how broad is it? Is this specific to the MFA, or is this really a change in culture we're going to see across the museum world?
Well, we're seeing the change in culture across the museum world. That's really what we're seeing. We're seeing museums doing lots of research on pieces before they actually acquire them. We're seeing them go back into their own collections and saying, hey, there's a hole here in the ownership history. We need to find out what it means. But I'll tell you, they take a lot longer to return something than they took to accept it.
I see. And what was the tipping point? What actually got museums to do this? Was it just that they were shamed after so many years? I mean, this is an issue that is not new. It's been talked about and talked about and talked about, as we say, going back to the era of the Elgin Marbles and well before.
I don't think it's shame so much as fear. And also, there is a level of professionalism that's come into play. But, you know, all these collections at major museums are now digitized. It's very easy for people to find out what's out there. And, you know, a few years ago, there was this famous case involving the Italian government actually arresting Marion True, a former curator at the Getty and someone who was trained at the MFA. And that was a sign to the museums that, hey, not only should you do the right thing, but if you don't, you might be in a court of law. And trust me, no curator wants to be arrested. They want to be traveling, researching, and doing work on the collection. They don't want to be, you know, hiring attorneys to fight cases.
So finally, what happens next to Heracles? What happens to the statue? When do we have any idea when it'll be heading back to Turkey?
We don't know exactly. I did speak to the Turkish officials, and they are agreeable to the idea of it being shown in Boston in its, you know, entirety at some point. And what the MFA would like to have happen is for Turkey to send the bottom half and for them to, the MFA, to put together the pieces and have it on short-term display. They're hoping, you know, to take it out of the foam and out of the box and show it as one piece maybe in 2012.
One might forgive the Turks if they said, wait a minute, you want us to send the bottom half of the statue over to Boston? But sounds like a new era, a new time. Jeff Edgers, thanks so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That's Jeff Edgers. He's an arts reporter for the Boston Globe, and you can find a link to his story, Making Heracles Whole After All These Years, on our website, radioboston.org.
Well, that's it for today. Tomorrow on the show, should midwives who perform home births in Massachusetts be regulated? And are you surprised that they aren't already? That's tomorrow on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.